Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Lunchtime. It's Noah Hiles and
John Bozica.
Oh, buddy, it's good to have you back.
You know, I'm glad to be here.
You know, we had a contentious ending to Wednesday's show, and then you not showing up on Friday.
I don't even remember what we
talked
about last
Wednesday.
Some of the
loyal listeners, we talked about coach longevity, and I was this is a guy who wanted Freddie Kitchens to stick around, and he got real upset. And some of the listeners were saying, I mean, people weren't on the street was, the duo might be done for good. So
people are talking about the breakup already.
We're back, baby. We are back. So
we're not like Shaq and Penny. We got back together.
Mike and the Mad Dog. We got a long run ahead of us. So John, this weekend, I don't know about you, but I watched some sports.
I watched a bit. Yeah.
All right. And Sunday, there were some great contests on, if you will. They had the Penguins Capitals at noon, and then right after that, it was Lakers Celtics. Two great rivalries, and that's why we love sports, right? Rivalries, storylines, and whatnot, and it made me think, what are the best modern rivalries in sports? Now, you could go down history, and you could talk about the Giants and the Dodgers, and you could talk about the Buckeyes in Michigan, but recently, what are the most relevant rivalries throughout the past two decades of sports? So, we are going to dive into that right now. John, do you want to get us started, or... How did you interpret this? What ones did you pick out?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go first by saying that I think current sports rivalries, like team rivalries, are hurting from some of the modern sports trends. So in the NBA, players jumping around the league, I think that's hurting because you don't have a consistent favorite most years, which is good for parity in the league, which makes it exciting come playoff time, but it's also hurting because you're not having like... The Lakers and the Celtics are good this year. They haven't both been good on the same year in like 10 years.
10 years, yeah.
It's been a long
Kobe
time.
Kobe versus the big three.
Yeah, so that's hurt the NBA. I think players kind of jumping around in baseball, too, has kind of hurt it. I don't know that... I think the Red Sox and the Yankees is still
That's still a huge rivalry.
But like it used to be the point where you'd see that in the playoffs most years.
And they still do. They played each other in the playoffs 2 years ago. Last year, their paths were just a little different. But Boston didn't make the playoffs.
But I remember there was like a span there when we were kids.
2003, like there was Aaron Boone. 2004, it was down 3-0. They came back.
I mean, and that was so thrilling, and we haven't had that in a while. And then I think college-wise, and I don't know how you'll feel about this, I think players not staying in college has hurt rivalries. Because like...
Basketball,
I mean,
yes.
I know Duke Carolina is a big rivalry every year. It always is going to be, but like I was really excited to see another year of Zion and RJ against, you know, those guys. I know that wasn't going to happen, but I was excited about it. Like, because it would have made better TV.
Well, I think that's a good place to start is Duke North Carolina, because I think Duke and North Carolina are those rare schools where guys still do kind of stick around a little bit. Maybe not Duke with, like, the top player, like a Zion, or in the past, like, help me out here. There was the big man who, Jahlil Okafor.
Yeah.
I mean,
Duke, but he hasn't had
Duke,
much of a career.
No, but I'm saying, like, in college, like, they were the top players.
Yeah, sure.
And North Carolina and Duke do have those guys. Like, Trey Jones is back for another year at Duke. Duke's had, you know, guys like... J.J. Redick, they've had the Plumlee brothers who stuck around. Grayson Allen played all 4 years at Duke. And love him or hate him, I mean, he was a narrative in that rivalry. And North Carolina's had guys like Cam Johnson who were there for 4 years. Tyler Hansborough. Perry Ellis. Is it Perry Ellis who played?
That name sounds familiar.
Or he might have been Kansas. There was another guy. It might have been Perry Ellis. There was North Carolina had this one guy. I'm pretty sure it was Perry Ellis. Was there for pretty much a million years. So like those schools, they do have those 4 year starters.
They
still do,
but the big marquee names don't stay. And I know they're not going to.
No.
I mean, just the sports fan in me would like to see another year of it.
Okay.
I mean, and I know that's not going to happen. I know players are going to go on to ink shoe deals and make money and do their thing, but. You know, a second year of that would have been entertaining. It really would have been because it was, I mean, watching Duke last year was must-see TV.
Yeah.
So, like, it gave me a reason to watch the rivalry. This year, I'm like, well, okay.
See, I disagree with that. So, the rivalry, I did some research on Duke, North Carolina. In the last 20 years, they played 48 times. Duke has dominated, 30-18. However, you consider both of their dominance on the sport, I think, is what makes this the best rivalry in college basketball and one of the top five rivalries in sports over the past 20 years. They've combined to win 7 national titles,
mm-hmm.
4 for North Carolina, 3 for Duke. Duke's won 11 ACC tournament titles, been to 4 Final Fours. North Carolina's been to 5 Final Fours. 70% of the time these two teams play each other, both of them are ranked. I mean, where else do you see that in sports? I get that you don't have the characters, the same cast.
Sure.
But where else do you find that where these two teams are both some of the best in the country year in and year out?
Well, and I was going to say two rivalries that are closer to us here in the Buckeye State, one being Ohio State, Michigan.
Not a rivalry.
Recently, it's missing the parity.
Not a rivalry.
Which is why I always say that Michigan needs to win games.
Not a rivalry.
Like, I'd like to see them win a game or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to even say it locally, the high school rivalry of Maslin and McKinley. Recently, Maslin has dominated that rivalry. So,
yeah.
You know, say what you will about that rivalry. It's a great one. Same with Ohio State, Michigan. But recently, you need wins from McKinley. You need wins from Michigan to sustain those rivalries over a longer period of time. When one team dominates, it's not a rivalry. It's
so
the same level.
With that stat being 30-18 in favor of Duke, does that fall into your category of Duke dominating it then?
You know, I don't know because it's not as big an edge.
No.
And because Carolina has still been relevant on a national scale, mm-hmm. it helps. Like if Michigan won a national championship in this time, one of these years, the rivalry would still exist at a larger scale, but because it doesn't have the national appeal, and it just has the appeal of like people in Columbus and people in Ann Arbor and the fringe fans that know about it, it doesn't have the same feel.
Okay, yeah, and I think that that's a good point where a rivalry can't be one team trying to climb over top of another. It's got to be two equal bouts, which is another good transition now onto another rivalry that I have, Penguins-Capitals, one that we saw last night in the Capitals 5-3 win over the Penguins. This to me is probably one of the better rivalries in sports as well. They've played each other 4 times in the postseason in the Crosby Ovechkin era, and all 4 times the winner of that series has gone on to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, but I mean 3 of those times
is the Penguins.
Penguins,
but
have won.
You talk about chasing them down. The Penguins were 9-1 in postseason series against the Capitals. And so in 2018, when the Capitals finally beat the Penguins, it was like smooth sailing after that. And now they're on the same page. It's the two best players, the two best hockey players in the last two decades. And they're both, you know, year in and year out, the favorites pretty much.
Yeah, and there's no disputing that Sid and Ovechkin are the two best players in hockey in this decade, in this like last 20 years, but really as a whole, the Penguins have dominated this rivalry, which
not his words, not mine.
I mean, again, it's like, to me that takes away from the rivalry. Like it may be, it's intense because of the faces. It's not intense because of the outcome. It's
yes.
intense because,
well, if you look at the regular season, it's far more even. It's
yeah,
just,
but you
yeah.
know as well as I do. Regular season
doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean crap.
Yeah, and so I think if the Capitals beat the Penguins again this year in the playoffs, which isn't going to happen, it gains a little bit more legs.
But I'll say this, and this will probably shock Noah, that you know I'm in a case where I love the Cavs and the Warriors the four years that it happened, but really it wasn't that great a rivalry because
no.
the Warriors really dominated the rivalry. It was great for the first 2 years when LeBron had to use Dele as his second
yeah.
option, that was great.
The pre-KD.
The second
element.
Year when it went to 7 games, it was great. The last 2 years, not really.
I mean,
it was intense, but it wasn't as great.
That was the third one I have here on the list is Cavs Warriors. And the reason you got to include it is no other and none of the college basketball or college football or the other professional 3 sports have we ever seen the same two teams meet in the championship more than twice in the last 2 decades. These teams met 4 years in a row. Granted, Golden State was one bad kick to the nuts away from going 4-0 in those but altogether that series over that 4-year span that changed the shape of the NBA.
Yeah, it did. Well, and I think this is the other thing too about that is that the amount of faces in that series was amazing for NBA history. I mean, you had the Warriors who had Steph, Klay, Dre, KD, Andre Iguodala. You had the Cavs. They had Richard Jefferson for a year. They had LeBron.
J.R. Smith. Kyrie Irving.
They had Kyrie. Kevin Love. I mean, the amount. Channing Frye.
Dwayne Wade was there for 5 seconds.
He was. The amount of people that went through those two teams over those years, I don't know that we'll ever see two teams again like that, kind of waging war against each other at a professional sports level again. Because as you said, for 4 years, think about this. The Cavs didn't build their team to beat the Eastern Conference.
No, that was a given.
They built their team to beat the Warriors. And the Warriors built their team to beat the Cavs.
Correct.
So it's like that's what made it great. Mm-hmm. They were playing for each other.
Yes.
And you'll never see that again.
No, not in today's, you know, with free agency and everything.
Yeah.
All right, so we got two rivalries left for teams. Then we'll get into the individual stuff. This next one, pretend this is the record book. Throw it out the window. Steelers, Ravens, these teams, they just do not like each other.
I hate when you do this.
John, right? On a serious note, I can't think of a professional sporting matchup where it's a regular season game that has more of an impact on the entire league than when the Steelers and Ravens play.
I would agree with that, but I would also say that it does have an impact, but at the same time, it doesn't have an impact.
Because you got to beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, the impact is normally for the AFC North, which, granted, like 10 years ago, that kind of meant a little
bit. Well, if
we're
looking over the last 20 years, well, first off, if someone's
the Steelers and Ravens both have two Super Bowls in the last 20 years?
Yes.
And it's like last 21 years.
No, yeah, it's the last 20 years, I guess, depending on, you know,
sure,
when
what
you measure.
Consider, yeah.
Yeah, and the Steelers have, of course, lost the Super Bowl as well. I mean, both of these teams, they've been equal. The Steelers have been better in the playoffs as far as, you know, making more AFC championships in the last 20 years. And that's the thing where this determined playoff seeding, where if you lose, you're going to have to go to Foxborough. If you win, you're not going to have to go to Foxborough until the AFC championship. At times, it meant facing Peyton Manning. At times, it meant, you know, winning the division or being a wild card team. And this
boy,
also
winning the division, I wonder what that feels like.
Yeah, right.
I have no idea.
I just can't think, because the Patriots, again, they were a given to pretty much be in the AFC championship game.
They were.
The winner of this rivalry in the regular season pretty much determined who was going to face them. At times, it would mean neither the Steelers or the Ravens. It would be the Colts or the Denver Broncos. But this kind of gave everyone else an idea of, okay, well, this is how the road's going to be shaped.
See, and I'm wondering where this rivalry goes from here, because
I think it's going to be great.
It's been big, but I don't know that it'll have the same staying power, because I don't know that. I think the Steelers have a big question they have to answer. Once Big Ben officially is done,
yeah.
I mean, Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph
are not
the answers.
But
to
then
the
again, I mean,
and I still think as good as Lamar Jackson was last year,
he's going to digress a little bit, or regress a little.
There's
bit.
A reason that he struggled in the playoffs. Yeah. People figured him out.
That and Lamar Jackson was not great against the Pittsburgh Steelers defense.
No,
so that's my thing. Where, yeah, the Steelers are losing Ben, but that defense isn't going anywhere anytime soon. Their best players are their youngest ones. So that'll still be a good rivalry. And the other two teams in the division, I mean, the Browns maybe will be relevant.
I'm not going to talk about
it. Yeah.
I'm
want to get your hopes up.
I'm choosing not to comment on that anymore.
But, yeah, for right now, I just think that, and that division, or that rivalry, I think, I mean, you hate both of those teams, but that's probably
I dislike them. I respect them, but I dislike
them. Yes, and that's the thing where if that's on Sunday Night Football, everyone's watching that game. Everyone's watching that game regardless of the time slot, because it's full of hard hits, iconic moments,
yeah, I mean,
and great players.
If the Browns aren't on and that game is on, that's the game I'm looking for.
I can't think of another, maybe Eagles, Cowboys or something
no,
like that.
It's not the
I
same.
Think that if you don't have a dog in the interest or a dog in the fight, a team of interest playing in a game, and you're not gambling on a game, I think that that's probably the number one NFL game fans would want to watch.
I think the only other game that's comparable to it because of history's sake is Bears-Packers.
Bears-Packers, yeah, and you know, and Cowboys-Giants, Cowboys-Eagles.
Yeah, those are
up there, but yeah. I think Steelers-Ravens, especially over the last 20 years, that's the game you want to watch.
Okay, so we both have one rivalry that stood out to us. Mine is individual, yours is team.
Yes.
Go ahead and give yours first.
All right, to conclude the team, I think the best rivalry in sports over the past two decades, Auburn-Alabama. If you just look at it, times in the last 20 years where both teams or that this matchup featured a top five team 12 times. In the last 20 years, it featured a top five team. Both teams were in the top 10 when they faced each other 3 times. That's pretty impressive. Two top 10 matchup. Both teams weren't ranked when they faced off just once in the last 20 years. So it's always two really good teams, and I talked about how the Steelers-Ravens matchup affects the landscape of the postseason. This game in college football determines the playoffs. It really does. There was a 5-year span where the winner of this game went to play in the national championship game. Despite there being an SEC championship and everything else that followed in college football playoffs, from 2009 to 2013, the winner of this game played in the college football, the BCS championship. And even after that, Auburn's been the only team that can consistently beat Alabama. Really, they're 8-5 against Nick, or 5-8 against Nick Saban, but 5 wins against Saban. No other team can say that. So
there's very few.
Yes. So when they beat Alabama, that allows other teams like, you know, whoever to sneak in.
Sure.
And give a chance. Gives chances for teams like Georgia or Washington or whoever snuck in, Oklahoma. And this one, it really does determine the landscape of the college football playoff.
I won't disagree with that.
It's got the memory, like the kick six.
Yeah,
Cam Newton.
It has lots of memorable moments.
Auburn's going to win the football game.
One, it has a lot of memorable faces too, which helps it. I mean, a lot of those guys are
Auburn quarterbacks, or not Auburn, Alabama quarterbacks are there for 4 years normally.
Yeah, typically. Yeah. I mean, most of them. Mm-hmm. Tua won't be.
No, so. Tua won't be, but I mean, you look before Tua, there was Blake Sims was there. He was a 5th-year player, but everyone else, McElroy, AJ McCarron, all those guys, they were there for the long haul.
Okay, so I agree with that as a team rivalry. I really do.
That's the best team rivalry in sports.
I think it's solid. Mm-hmm. People look after it, and even like Northern football fans care about it because, as you said, it affects their chances of getting to the Final Four.
Ohio State fans watch this game every year, knowing that more often than not, this will either be a chance for them to sneak into the playoffs or get a better seed in the playoffs.
Okay, now the rivalry that I'm going to go with that I think is the best in sports over the last 20 years is in tennis. It's been a three-headed monster. It's been Federer, who has 20 majors in that time, Nadal, who has 19, and then Novak Djokovic, who has 17. And basically, since 2003, these guys have 56 of like the possible however many majors you can have over that time. And I've always been a tennis fan because my parents were tennis fans. Like, I remember hearing names like Bjorn Borg and John McEnroe and Boris Becker and, like, you know,
Joachim Noah's dad.
And, you know, Joachim Noah.
Yeah.
I remember hearing those names growing up. Like, they were names that I knew, but I don't think tennis has ever had a more dominant period where you have inner rivalries between three guys. Like, Djokovic Nadal is a rivalry. Federer Nadal is a rivalry, and you know, even, you know, Djokovic Federer is a rivalry. Mm-hmm. Like, anytime they meet, it's normally for something big. Plus, they've all dominated one major. Nadal has 12 French Opens, Federer has 8 Wimbledons, and then Djokovic has 8 Australian Opens. So they're all great at one thing, but they've all won everything, like, I think multiple times, except Federer, he only has 1 French Open, and I think the same with Novak, but that's because Nadal has been so dominant at Roland Garros that it hasn't mattered. It's been that good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's made me become a bigger fan of tennis than I thought I would be. Like, I love tennis history, but it's made me enjoy the sport even more.
Merit-wise, I would argue, those have been the three guys in the sport.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And Andy Roddick will appear every now and then.
They are the three top major winners of all time.
Yes.
I mean, and you will never find a period of tennis where three guys dominate as much. There have been periods where they have lots of guys that are great, but never just three guys that like take over the sport.
I would argue, and maybe not from merit, but from popularity and carrying a sport and still carrying the sport despite neither of them being nowhere near the top of their game. Tiger versus Phil is probably the best individual rivalry in the last 20 years.
See, this is hard for me because Tiger dominated the rivalry so much, it doesn't mean as much to me. Because I mean, Phil has only 5 majors. Tiger has 15. Mm-hmm. So it's not like Palmer versus Nicholas or like Watson versus Nicholas. Mm-hmm. Rivalries in the golf game that were closer. Magic versus Bird, you know what I mean? Like, to me, a rivalry has to have some sort of like continuity that one guy wins, the other guy loses every couple of years. With this, it was for every four that Tiger wins, Phil wins one.
Phil was an entertaining second fiddle.
He was. He was.
Other good individual rivalries, just to list them off real quick, Tyson Holyfield.
Sure.
I heard about that one. McGregor Diaz. There's a third fight coming up. I know you're not a UFC guy.
Nothing.
Liddell, Tito Ortiz, another great UFC rivalry. Brady versus Manning. And I think Crosby Ovechkin is probably a better way to summarize the Capitals.
Yeah, it is.
Rivalry against the Penguins. It's an individual race.
The one that you mentioned that stuck out to me is Brady versus Manning. Because for a good period of time, when they were both in the league, that determined, like, 9 times out of 10, the Super Bowl champion. And it determined...
It really didn't, though.
But, I mean, it determined who was going to come out of the AFC.
It didn't, though. The Colts only went to 2 Super Bowls. You could argue the Steelers and Ravens were just as influential.
Sure, but, I mean...
Let's just be real. The Patriots were... It's just the Patriots. It's the Patriots versus everyone.
But everybody looked at Manning versus Brady every year. Like, people were always watching that.
Yeah, because those are the 2 best quarterbacks of all time, arguably.
That it could happen.
Yeah.
So, it was meaningful.
Yes, I agree. All right, you got anything else?
No, I'm good.
All right, Noah's No Doubters to wrap up the show after Friday's No Doubter show. 6-3 on that show. You're welcome for the free money.
I don't understand free money. I mean, they still only won 6 of 9. That's...
That's a profit, dude. I'll explain money to you later,
John. I don't
understand
gambling. Okay. There's no guarantee.
It's a no doubter. All right, 16-13 on show picks this year. I got 3 for you today. The Atlanta Hawks +8. Hawks 10-17-1 against the spread at home this year, and they're playing a Philly team that just stinks on the road. The 76ers stink on the road, 8-20-1 against
the
spread
on
the road this year. Brooklyn Nets are pick number 2. They're -2.5. They are 16-12 against the spread at home this year, taking on an Orlando Magic team that is 10-19-2 against
the
spread
injury,
as an underdog. And pick number 3, WVU -4, taking on a Shaka Smart Texas team that has mailed it in. He's going to get fired at the end of the year, and you're going up against Huggy Bear, baby, that Press Virginia University. I hate to pick
them.
I hate West Virginia, but I love this pick. So bring them home. Atlanta Hawks +8. Brooklyn Nets -2.5. WVU -4. You're welcome for the free money. John, good to have you back, buddy.
I'm here for the long haul.
All right, and we are both here for the long haul. We'll see you on Wednesday.